Listen now for the word of God. This is from the book of Luke. And we jump right in here, but this is Jesus speaking. Listen now for the words of Jesus. There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on earth, distressed among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things take place, stand up and raise your head, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already here. So when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all who live on the face of the earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. It will seem like hell has broken loose. Sun, moon, stars, earth, sea in an uproar, and everyone all over the world in a panic, the wind knocked out of them by the threat of doom, the powers that be quaking. May God bless our hearing and our understanding of these hard words. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. So every week in some churches, there's a prayer of confession. We don't practice a prayer of confession in this service except for during the sermon, it seems. So now I'm going to offer you a confession, which is that I took an art history class, only one, and I failed it. But I do remember something from a lecture that I will never, ever forget. And that is this. The way you can tell the difference, said the lecturer, between postmodern art and classical art is that classical art is a window through which you see the world. And postmodern art is a mirror into which you look at yourself. In postmodern art, what to notice is not so much what the piece is depicting, but how it makes you feel, how it makes you think, how it changes you to look at it. Now, I think of Vincent, remember, I'm not a student of art history, so if you actually are, you can correct me later, but I think of Vincent van Gogh's painting, Starry Night, which you'll find on the front of your bulletin. Thank you to Kathy Woolley for doing that. This was painted in 1889, and I think of this as one of the first postmodern paintings. At first glance, it might seem like a window. This is a view out into the field near the sanitarium where Van Gogh was staying at the time. But although it is a picture of a night sky, it is painted from memory during the day. It's not an exact replica. Rather, it's a reflection of Van Gogh's nighttime state of mind as remembered later during the day. So this is not a window. It's a mirror. When you're looking at it, you're not seeing an exact replica. You have a window instead into Van Gogh's heart, mind, and soul. And you also may have a window into your own heart, mind, and soul by gazing at this painting. So let's take a moment and look at it. If you have seen Van Gogh's work in life, then you know that a reproduction doesn't really do it justice, because he painted by squirting tubes of paint directly on the canvas. And so his paintings are very thick and full of depth and dimension. But as best as you can, as you gaze at this painting, look into it as if into a mirror. What does it make you feel? What does it remind you of? What does it make you hope for or fear about the future? So feel free to gaze at this painting anytime you wish during this worship service. But I think this little exercise is a way to help us think about the passage from Luke today, rather than as a window into events exactly as they are happening. These words of Jesus are a mirror. It's helpful to spend time with words of Scripture, I think, with the same questions that we asked of the painting. What does it make you feel? What does it remind you of? What does it make you hope for or fear? Van Gogh says, by the way, that he painted Starry Night when he felt a terrible need for religion. And so it shows a sky in all this turmoil. Anyway, here's what I believe. Rather than a grand final judgment in which Jesus will return to terrorize and amaze the world, I believe that the kingdom of God is being revealed all the time, every day. Not in one cataclysmic event, but in the everyday unfolding of the reign of God. What then does a passage like this, in which the planets provide signs so terrifying and absolute that people faint from fear, what then do we say about this passage? Well, first, it's helpful to remember what it is that people who believe in apocalyptic actually believe. So apocalyptic is your 50-cent theology word to take with you today from this sermon. Apocalyptic. Do you want to try to say it? No. Ruth says, no, thank you. You may try to say it if you wish to. Apocalypticism is the religious belief that there will be an apocalypse, a term which refers to the revelation of God's will, the kind of pulling away of the veil to reveal what lies underneath. Now, it usually refers to the belief that the world will come to an end, especially in one's own lifetime. This belief is usually accompanied by the idea that civilization as we know it will come to some catastrophic global event, such as war, a one big time event. It's easy to kind of picture this, and even to make it almost a joke. You know, the guy in the cartoons wearing a beard down to his knees and a tattered robe carrying the end is near sign? I saw that guy downtown during the tree lighting in Portland just this weekend. I thought, wow, he's real. But these kind of jokes can diminish and make us forget that this passage actually has something really serious to say to us. If you look at it through a window, here's the problem. You're going to start looking for signs to prove the signs that things are going to happen exactly in this way. And on the one hand, this may have been a warning to the people of Jerusalem. Jesus was talking in this passage about the temple, a place he both loved and challenged, the center of power for his faith, and a system that had grown unjust and corrupt. He was warning them that things cannot go on in the way of injustice. And it is true that some years later, the temple was brought to the ground in what must have been a scene of confusion and terror. But what if we look at this passage as if we are looking into a mirror and not a window? Think again about how these words make you feel. The planets are out of order. Confusion. Wind roars. Sea roars. Look, friends, in the mirror. You've had days like that. We've had hard times, each of us, when the planets were out of order. The absence of a loved one, the layoff, the accident, the illness, the divorce, the death, the unwanted legal action. At times like this, it does seem, does it not, that the roar of the wind is so loud that you could faint. You can hear nothing else. At times like this, it does seem, does it not, that the planets have been rearranged. When Jesus says, this generation will not pass away before these things have come to pass, it sends those window scripture kind of readers paging through the Bible, looking for signs to back up the signs. But for those of us who see these passages as a mirror instead, we know that Jesus is saying, in this generation, this is business as usual. Death and accidents and brokenness and grief happen in every generation. They happen, including this one. And then Jesus says, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your head, for your redemption is coming near. Don't fall into dissipation and drunkenness. Don't get tired. Don't feel depressed. God's work, too, is bold and beautiful and sometimes frightening. In hard times, well-meaning folks will sometimes say to you something like, God doesn't give you more than you can handle, or even, God is testing you. Like it's God who has set up the situation which moves your world. No. In times like these, business as usual times, and even these past few weeks, which seem to have more than their share of bad news, as gunmen roam seemingly unimpeded, in these times, God grieves more than anyone. Stand up and raise your head and look around, says Jesus. Because here's a little danger, and Jesus warns us of it masterfully here, that this mirror-looking will turn into navel-gazing. You have to walk this path carefully, because in times of crisis, it is all about you, but it's not only about you. Listen, look at the fig trees, Jesus says. In your moment of deepest despair, look at the fig tree. And all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourself, and you will know that summer is near. In that time of interior calamity, of confusion and roar, it is the beauty and constancy of the tree's movement from one season to the next that reminds us that the apocalypse and the revealing of the kingdom is not a one-time deal, but every day, every moment occurrence. We just need to open our eyes to see it. When all the planets are crashing around us, can we take a moment to pause and look up and stand on our feet at the barely budding, sweetly opening leaves of a fig tree? Can we dare to find hope in the unexpected and yet somehow expected, too, signs of life in creation and one another? Jeremiah saw it in the passage that Dwight read earlier. Jeremiah is known as a book of intense emotionality. Yet in the midst of disaster, the prophet takes a breath to remind us of hope and the peace that passes all understanding. And you've seen it too, friends, if you've raised your head and looked around and stood on your feet during those times. A support from an unexpected place. A phone call that restores a relationship. The touch of a hand. A kind word. A prayer unexpectedly answered. Sinking into God's peace. That's what we're doing this Advent season. Unlike the retail Christmas season that sends us in a frenzy out to grab the one must-have thing in Advent, we say instead, we are people of peace because we know the kingdom is not going to be revealed in the single cataclysm of being the first in line to purchase this year's must-have item. Rather than a one-time event, we are looking for signs of peace every day. Every day we are standing again on our feet. Every day we are looking around at God and at one another. In the weeks to come, we will hear snippets of the Christmas story. In the weeks and days to come, we will hear of angels who proclaim good news. We will hear of shepherds who are willing to hear and leave all that is familiar. We will hear of a young mother who says yes to God. We will hear of a husband and father willing to trust in a dream. We will hear of wise ones following a star. We might be tempted to think of these as one-time cataclysmic events, life changers. We might be tempted to look at the Christmas story through a window as events that happened once, long ago, to other people. But if we are willing to look at the story of the birth of the Christ child as if into a mirror, not a window, we will see that each day we have the opportunity to stand up, to raise our heads, to proclaim, to say yes to God, to trust, to follow. These are not cataclysmic one-time events, my friends. But every day opportunities. These are the ways in which the kingdom is revealed. These are the ways in which the Christ child is born anew in each of us. May it be so. Amen.